welcome to a Tuesday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside, as always, we'll take the three, hand it off to our buddy Phil Venotti. His fine show behind the bench brings you to 6 o'clock. Baseball again tonight, both stations. The Giants continue their quest to fall to the bottom of the National League West. They can't do it because the Rockies are there to make sure that doesn't happen, but the Giants are really struggling, particularly at home, and hopefully they can turn it around tonight. Padres playing very well, only a game back of the Dodgers. Now 6:15, the Giant pre. The A's will be over on 790. I'll tell you all about the entirety of the schedule for both stations a little bit later on, courtesy of our pal Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. As we mention every day, Ed, the great booster at Fresno State, and Precision Civil Engineering, a terrific company. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net on the web. And again, a little bit later on, when we go over the schedules, we'll be able to tell you a little bit more about what Ed has been able to do for Fresno State in the Lyles College of Engineering, which Ed's a very proud graduate there, to benefit Fresno State and to benefit those students that are part of the Lyles College of Engineering. And so we will tell you more about all of that a little bit later on. Jackson is with me today, and we will, by the way, talk Fresno State, Kansas, and all three of those cluster of games at the start, because we have discussed this a couple of times, and I mentioned it the other day again, that well, it's not the exact similarity that you would see or precise when it comes to what Fresno State went through at the start of 2001. The commonality is the fact that you had three difficult games right at the start and not breathing room whatsoever, and so you have to hit the ground running. In that case, you had Pat Hill as the coach, and Pat, of course, had already been there since 97. In this case, you've got a brand-new coaching staff coming in with, as we talked yesterday, three highly winnable games but also highly losable games prior to that Southern game. And so we're going to talk about all three of those games with Jackson in just a moment. But first, beyond Precision Civil Engineering, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you. One would be our local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, part of the Bulldog Bread Collective to benefit Fresno State with NIL monies. We appreciate very much this international, national, and local company jumping aboard. And right now, to celebrate F1, the movie, the terrific Brad Pitt movie that took 3 years to put together, all about Formula One racing, they have the special Phillips deal back for a limited time for only $7. You can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or classic famous bowl offerings. All three, whichever one you choose, come with a drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. Also, don't forget, you can cool off with the new peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. Terrific opportunity for you each and every day right now. Limited time at the local KFCs. But also, on Tuesdays, like today, the long-running deal is still there, which is the $10 eight-piece bucket. That's dark meat pieces or original recipe tenders. Again, check it out at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. If you stop in, tell them thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State. It's much appreciated. And one more time, when we talk about Ed Dunkel or in a moment Joe Cruz or the local folks at KFC, we really, A, appreciate it, and A+, are hopeful that more local companies will get involved as Fresno State tries to close the gap, particularly getting ready to head to the PAC next year. Anyway, thanks to the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Okay, just mentioned Joe Cruz, another great booster at Fresno State. Joe has a terrific business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supplies, celebrating its 25th anniversary in town. Joe has been a booster at Fresno State for over three decades. And one more time, if you're working around a valve-oriented business, meaning plant worker, maintenance worker, around a boiler service, anybody who relies upon a valve for their business productivity, if one starts to go down, your business can go down in a big hurry as well. not only is there terrific components there at Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, all in-house at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, but also the same-day estimates, the same-day service, the family-friendly business. You stop in, tell Joe what your issues are, and he will sit down with you and put together a plan to get you back up and running if you're down, or to make sure you stay up and running if you're in that problematic area. Really important. Joe knows exactly how to take care of your business, and if you have some time, he will tell you what he does for Fresno State, and we'd like you to do. And again, if you can't make it in person to 4529 North Marty Avenue in town, you can give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. Or go to the web at superiorpipeusa.com. Gabe, who works for Joe, also has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. But if you can get to Suite 103 at 4529 North Marty Avenue in town, Joe would love to sit down with you face-to-face. As far as what he'd like to see you do donation-wise for Fresno State, the best avenue right now, go to the main website at gobulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. Click on that. Take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org has a link. So does Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus right there. And then finally, under ways to give, the individual sports clubs. Timeout Club, for instance, is there for basketball. Jack Furtig with me normally every Wednesday to talk basketball. Tomorrow, the Giants on our time slot. But Jack and the board of directors, they'd love to have more members. He said call him directly. 287-3305, 559-287-3305, or you can also hit him on his email, FurtigJack@AOL.com. There's also links there for other sports, quarterback club for football, dugout club for baseball, and there are other men's and women's sports as well under ways to give. And then finally, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, the critically important monies, BulldogBread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. That is the collective that's there for Fresno State. Again, everything has started July, went under one roof at Fresno State, but you still have the separate issues about giving money directly. The university has that $20.5 million budget right now that NC2A set out there, but that is separate from the sponsorship monies that come from NIL. So if you have a business and you want to be part of the Fresno State train, if you will, we like to call it that, caravan, whatever you want to call it, the best way to do it is contact Marcus McLaren at BulldogBread.com. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, and Marcus will get back to you. Thanks to one and all, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, whole gang at Precision Civil Engineering, the local KFC operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma and Kerman, and then finally, a big thank you to our great friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They afford us the time every day to tell you about the weather. Terrific local people. Lee's has been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. As far as the forecast goes, 103 today, 101 tomorrow, and then we fall back into the 90s, 99, 98, 96, 95, 96, and maybe more importantly, the lows fall back into the high 60s. So for this time of year, not bad at all. I know we were a little hotter over the weekend, but we haven't seen those 108s, those 110s, those 112s that we saw last summer. So far, so good. The only proviso, again, is with the wildfires, San Luis Obispo area with the Gifford fire down there, the Canyon fire around Castaic. A lot of the fires in SoCal, when the winds shift, can be blown right back up here smoke-wise. The haze has been pushed away because the winds went the right direction. Now if they come back the other way, you can have a problem again. But be careful if you're traveling and always be very cognizant of the air quality around the valley, particularly this time of year. Anyway, thanks, everybody at Lee's. Really appreciate that time. Give them a call, 825-5337-825-LEE's, or go to the web at leesair.com. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how we bring guests like Jackson Moore up in just a second, and how Phil not only brings up his guests during his show, but also calls from the general public. And that, again, is 559-320-1430. That, I've having been said, we turn to our de facto co-host, the aforementioned Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Jackson. It's always good talking to you. By the way, very quickly here, a couple of things. One, 49er fans, I do not want to hear from you saying that, et tu, Brute, how can I turn on my beloved 49ers? I'm not turning on them. I'm just being honest. They're still going to be competitive. That's not what I was saying. I was saying the window closed on them because as far as being top-of-the-line Super Bowl contenders, one more time, okay, nobody has played in more NFC title games than the 49ers, and nobody has lost more NFC title games than the 49ers. That having been said, they get five Super Bowls. One more time, they should have eight, except they've lost the last three, all of their own volition, I might add. And after the last opportunity, when Bosa had a chance, mano a mano, to stop Patrick Mahomes in overtime and pinched in instead of staying out, that pretty much was it. Because after that, what we have seen now is Brock Purdy in this last year plus run through that rookie contract. And I hate to say it, and I said it before, Micah Parsons brought it up. We'll see what the 49ers do now when they have to really pay their quarterback, because the 49ers were lucky enough because of where they drafted Purdy to be able to have that very cheap rookie contract. Now the $60 million or so a year that these quarterbacks pull in impacted the 49ers to the extent that they lost half their defense because of it, and they can say, well, we needed to retool anyway, but you didn't want to lose guys like Hufanga, for goodness sake, who were first team, all pros, just a few years ago. So what I'm saying is, will the 49ers be competitive? If they stay healthy, yes. Are they a top-of-the-line Super Bowl contender? No. And that pains me. I hope I'm wrong. I'm not giving up on them. I've lived and died with these guys since the early 1960s. All right? Jim Marshall running the wrong way in 1964 was maybe the highlight of my entire childhood with the 49ers. And by the way, Marshall ended up recovering a fumble and winning the damn game anyway for the Vikings. All right, that's enough. You got something to say about it, Jackson?
Nothing to add on my end.
Okay, just a little sensitive toward this is what I'm saying, okay? Unbelievable. It's going to be a long, long 2025. Okay, so how you doing?
Well, now you got me thinking about the NFL, and I'm a Titans fan, but my mood is getting lower the longer this goes on.
Yeah, you're fine. You guys will be just fine. You're going to rack up another one of those Super Bowl. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. By the way, on a more pertinent note, I mean, we mentioned it yesterday. It's so great that Mo Norris is back at camp with the Lions. Paul and I were talking yesterday. He's in concussion protocol for the next 10 to 14 days. And a great sigh of relief because it looked absolutely horrific over the weekend. And speaking of local products, Jordan Love is going to go ahead and have that surgery now on the ligament on his thumb. He was injured over the weekend, and he was first thought to be able to play through it, and then he said no and went ahead now with the surgery and will be ready to go. At least he's supposed to be ready to go by opening day for the Packers, and I know there's still a ton of Packer fans around. And Jordan Love, of course, a great guy, and everybody in Bakersfield loves him, and justifiably so, and so we'll see how it plays out for the Pack. Okay, lot to do, Jackson. First of all, I want to get this out of the way. The dinner Thursday, Jackson, what do you think the tone is going to be? Is it great optimism for Fresno State football right now? What's your sense? I'm talking about fan base-wise.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I think there's optimism. There's intrigue. I think you've got a head coach that is setting the tone here. He's wants to play a physical style of football, and he speaks very highly of the way that their team's going to play and about this program, and I think he's going to hit all those same notes here with a bunch of red waivers in front of him. So I know it's a part of fall camp where they're getting to the end of camp, and it's hotter than it's been, and I think it's dragging on a little bit for some of the guys right now, but it'll be a good refresher to take a step away from working out in the heat and enjoying some time with the fans.
Now, as far as these three games together, and you and I referenced it the other day, like I said, this is not at Colorado, home to Oregon State, who was at that point, from a 2001, SI's number one team. Though the Beavers, I think they finished the year like 5-6, if I'm not mistaken. I have to go back and check. But it went from a very difficult game in Boulder to a home game against a de facto number one in the country, and then to Camp Randall. And, of course, the Bulldogs won all three and were riding high. And then 3 days after that, we had 9/11 and football and everything else, understandably, in the world of sport, got pushed to the side. That, Jackson, is a difficult task anytime. I'm not pretending that this is that, but I do know this, that if you're a new coaching staff, and, of course, that was not a new coaching staff at that point, like I mentioned, Pat had come in 97, that you would like to have a walkover game somewhere in your first three games. And so you and I have talked about this, that going to Kansas, even though they're under 500 last year, still you're a two-touchdown underdog. You come home against Georgia Southern, our pal Patrick, who does coaching around the area, had mentioned to me in an email that he thinks that Georgia Southern probably will be an even greater test in reality than Kansas, and saying he believes the Bulldogs have a better chance to beat Kansas than they would Georgia Southern. We'll find out. Then you have to go to Corvallis to play Oregon State on the road, which is always tough. When you look at these three taken as a whole, Jackson, where do you put the Kansas game first? If I were to ask you, is it the least winnable of the three, or on the field itself, never mind the environment, the Bulldogs have a legitimate shot at this game? I guess what I'm asking is, we know what Fresno State has to do. Is Kansas that good, or are we really looking at a team that was good a couple of years ago and that's all there was to it?
Yeah, it feels a little bit like a toss-up with Kansas. Even last year's sample size is tough to wrap your head around. With such a bad start for the Jayhawks after some success the year or two before that. And then they go on a tear at the end of the season, knock off a bunch of ranked teams in a row pretty much. So,
right.
So you can see they have certainly the talent there, at least they did last year. And that I just think there's, in the Big 12, it's a lot of parity. It's tough to win games week in and week out, and they seem more than capable of competing with most of the teams there and capable of losing to most of the teams there. So I know they're going through coordinator changes right now from last season to this season, so it's going to be a little bit of a different look from them. Sounds like they're back into a healthy situation at quarterback, which is big for them. Now, hearing some sources in Kansas, last year a lot of those losses, some of them came very close, and a big part of the theme of this offseason for the Jayhawks is finishing games that they didn't win last year, and obviously that's what we've been talking about quite a bit about the Bulldogs from last year to this year. So it's definitely a game that both teams are going to want to finish out strong and put to bed some of the issues they had the year before, and one team's going to be able to do it, obviously, and the other team won't. And at least the consensus right now is that is the least winnable game. Dogs are two touchdown underdogs, and it looks like Georgia Southern and Oregon State are both virtual pick-ems right now. So it's one where I think it's probably the toughest to put the meter, you know, is how good is Fresno State, how good is Kansas. It's tough to
right.
tell, but I think just the baseline talent, it's safe to assume the Jayhawks have assembled the individuals that would be the best group between the Jayhawks, Bulldogs, Georgia Southern, and Oregon State, too.
I want to look back at a couple years ago, and, you know, you're opening at Purdue, and then you're going to Arizona State, and on paper, it looked to be very daunting. In reality, of course, you fell back by more than a touchdown at Purdue after the kick return early in that second half. But as it turned out, you win that game, and then you were very dominant against Arizona State, though, in all honesty, Jackson, if you would have played them toward the end of the year, it might have been a different story. That kind of thing where you can look on paper and say, okay, well, this is a challenge, that's a challenge. Do you have a tendency to throw that out these days with so much turnover? The reason I'm asking this is, and you brought it up, it seems like with this Kansas game, almost everything you say about Fresno State is applicable to Kansas. Almost everything, you know. You know, can they run it? Will they be able to execute late? Will their defense be able to stop somebody from running it? For the Bulldogs, it's, are you going to get overpowered by a bigger offensive line? Are you going to be able to move the football? Is this just football speak from guys that aren't that close to the situation, like at SI or what have you? Or is it legit to say, in a way, that it is a mirror image problem? I mean, you presented it. Is it really the case? When you dive deep into this thing, is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, I think you just got a lot of unknowns, and I think Fresno State specifically, if they're not around the program, they probably don't realize how much they've invested into fixing some of the things that didn't go well last year. Last year was a team that was really not built to run the ball, and they tried anyway, and it didn't work, and now this team is all about running the ball, and they've got the Bryson Donaldson and a bunch of other guys to do it, and what appears to be an O-line that should be able to allow that to happen, but you just don't know. In general, first. Second is the task of going and facing a Big 12 team and the type of athletes that the Jayhawks are going to have on the D-line, if they can handle that task on top. And I think in general, week zero or week one, your first game, there's just a lot of nerves, and sometimes it takes a quarter or two to settle in. Even the game at Michigan last year, as the Bulldogs kept it close, it just felt like a, kind of an unusual setting that that game was playing out. Both teams just seem to be playing very tight. So there's just a lot of different angles into a season opener. And then you've got these two teams with so many changes. And in today's world, with so many players turning over from year to year, it's tough to tell. And I think in general, if you're a Big 12 team and you're at home and you've got a brand new stadium open up, that should be pretty cool. You've got a lot of intangibles and advantages on your side, but I just don't think many people know how these two teams are actually going to clash when they're between the lines.
Well, I know this. When I talk about you, it's the generic you. I understand that you don't ever, and I mean this sincerely, go off by the mode that might be out there. And, you know, now people talk about it with AI, right? You're not someone who's going to just speak in generalities because it's the easiest way to put the damn preview together. And I read things like, you know, I'm not going to use names, but there's certain writers already in the Big 12 that it's obvious that they really have not looked at Fresno State closely, particularly those that, you know, dismiss Bryson Donaldson, for instance, as, well, he was there last year, and so there's not going to be a market improvement. Well, you know what? You're not paying attention then, because you and I both know Bryson Donaldson did not get the lion's share of opportunity last year. What we saw Bryson Donaldson in spurts. But, Jackson, I think it's completely unfair to look at his stats last year and say he wasn't a productive back. He wasn't your go-to back all year long. I mean, do you think this is just born of ignorance or laziness from people sometimes?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of write-ups that I've done, I've singled out the production of Donaldson in the last three games, and you look at what he did, the yards he racked up and touches,
right.
Even only playing half the Colorado State game, it's pretty remarkable. He put up some pretty big numbers, but over the season, that was most of his numbers were just in those three games, not a whole lot to show for the first half, three quarters of the season, the way that the Bulldogs were using the rotation and didn't quite give him the keys yet. So, I mean, if anyone singles out those last couple of games, I mean, you could see what he did and what kind of tear he was on. But if you're just looking at season-long numbers, it doesn't look like anything too impressive.
You know, the other thing is, and maybe it's my imagination, but it appears, and we're talking about schools, for instance, we bring up Arizona State, okay, all right? Arizona State's part of the Big 12 now, that's fine. But when they were in the pack, like I said, Fresno State showed up there and you know, gave him a cowboy whooping just a couple of years ago. Game wasn't close. And I know, again, that Arizona State improved as the year went on. I give them due credit, and we know what happened last year. It's probably one of the reasons we're going to see major changes in how the college football playoff ultimately is administered. But are we getting hung up on the halves, if you will? And look, one more time, you and I both know that for the Big 12 to lump itself in with that P4 designation, that's a bit of grandiosity right now, because I'm just saying, we know that both the ACC and the Big 12 will not be on that ship when it sails with whoever is remaining from the Big 10 and the SEC. We know that already, and I think they know it too. But is there a lot of inherent arrogance that I'm seeing here where the Big 12 writers are dismissing Fresno State because of the we're the Big 12 and you're not, which is ridiculous because a lot of former conference mates are part of the Big 12, right? Just off the top of my head, Utah, BYU, TCU. Okay, why is it they seem to be so dismissive of the PAC? I'm just wondering. And I'm not talking about Oregon State and Washington State, but the whole group that's, you know, a lot of the Mountain West right now. Is it just that built-in, we're better than you because the designation says so?
I think so, and I think, you know, most power conference opponents, especially to open seasons when there's not much of a sample size yet, have felt that way in a lot of years, and that's Fresno State. They really had a lot of hype going into it, and we know how well the Bulldogs have fared historically, or at least put up a really good fight in a lot of these games, and I think Kansas especially, you know, the Bulldogs have racked up a lot of BCS/Power 5 or 4 wins over the years, and they've gone toe-to-toe with a lot of the top programs, but they've really racked up a lot of wins against teams that have that power conference designation, but really, if it weren't for that designation, they don't look all that different from Fresno State. Purdue's a good example. You know, it's not a team that's winning Big Ten championships or anything, and Fresno State is able to go out there and get that win, and Kansas feels like it's right in that type of a boat. But I also do believe that now with revenue sharing and seeing the divide, a lot of even ACC Big 12 programs are going to be hitting that $20 million salary cap and spending well over $10 million on their football team. And if Kansas has anything remotely in that range, and there is a tangible evidence that they've got a much different roster than Fresno State. But we still know that doesn't necessarily equate to wins and losses or motivation or there weren't the revenue sharing and dollar signs before, but the gap is probably pretty similar. It seems that Fresno State has not thought in the past, so I think they've got every right to believe they can go in there and win it, but at the same time, they are underdogs, and it would be a relative upset if they were able to do it.
Well, you're right, and the other thing we've talked about over and over again, Jackson, not only the wins against teams in this kind of circumstance, but the almost countless number of times the Bulldogs had a game within their grasp and it got away. And it's one thing if it gets away because the other team takes the ball and goes on an 8-minute drive and shoves it down your throat, right, and basically says, okay, you were close, but we decided it was time for us to take over. That was not the case over and over again. It was freakish plays. Like I said, it was Marlon Moore reaching out at Texas A&M when he didn't need to, because you're going to have first and goal in the half-yard line. You know, it's Jamie Kimbrough fumbling, having the ball taken away in the end zone. It's Tech when Jamie Kimbrough never fumbles. Those kinds of things, right? An odd spot, that kind of thing, where there was just a litany of times where the Bulldogs were either unlucky or their own worst enemy. And it always reminded me, Jackson, and you know this from playing so much basketball, of playing pickup basketball against guys who on paper were better than the team that you had out there that might have been former JC guys or whatever, and they beat you, but they beat you when one of your guys misses an uncontested layup at the end. You know what I mean? And they walk off the court like, well, we beat you again. And you say, wait a minute there, Kareem. Okay, if you blocked that shot at the end and took it down and scored, I'll say, okay, you were just toying with us. But when our guy misses an uncontested layup with nobody around him, don't tell me that you were better. What you were damned lucky. It was our own lack of execution that beat us, not your athletic superiority. And for Fresno State, there have been so many of those examples over the years of games where they were right there in their grasp against power, whatever you want to call them, you know, P5 at the time, whatever, that have gotten away. And so when we look at games like Purdue and Arizona State, you say, okay, again, that level of competition, even on the road, is not that daunting. And I would purport, I'm not saying Kansas isn't going to win the game, but Jackson, this is not like going to an upper echelon school. This, you know, this is the thing we talked about so often about 2017. Yeah, you had horrible years. That's the understatement of all. If you can find a different word for it, be sure to jump in, okay? But what happened in 15 and 16, it was just putrid. And you go into 17, you bring Tedford in. Obviously, Jeff's legacy, not just here as a great player and an outstanding assistant coach and coordinator, but the fact he had already turned Cal around and had that great success. You come in here, but on your early schedule are games at Alabama and at Washington. So it's almost like two guaranteed losses for almost anybody in the country. And yet, even though you lost those games, you survived enough that you had a great year. I look at this, Jackson, and I don't see any guaranteed losses on this schedule. Do you?
I don't. And, I mean, that's a nice luxury to have. And if you talk about all the narrow games and then the close losses, and I think part of that is you can't just be good, but you've got to be so good that you can get wins even when some of those plays happen. You can afford to make that mistake and still be up a score or two. And when I look at Fresno State, I'm not necessarily certain that there's a team on the schedule that has that luxury. You know, you think about even games against USC, sometimes when the Trojans aren't even that good. It's just they've got right. The five-star freshman that returns the kick or a punt. And it's the difference sometimes, you know. So there's not a team on the schedule that has that. I also look around, and I'm not sure if this team is that much better than even some of the lower-end opponents on the schedule that they can afford. To be that type of team against them, you've got to really count on Fresno State being a lot better with home field advantage than teams like San Diego State, Wyoming, and Utah State, Nevada. They may be. They might steamroll those teams, but it also might be a little more tighter than you would like, and those games become a grind. So this is an odd setup here where we're used to counting a couple of, you know, more than a couple, usually a handful of pretty much guaranteed wins. Maybe one or two guaranteed losses and a few games that you kind of wait and see what happens that might be toss-ups. But this schedule really, from top to almost the bottom, feels like it's just going to be a grind each week, and you might just have a lot of close games that can really go either way. And if this team reaches its potential and its ceiling, you know, it becomes a lot more easy. And if they're not quite up to what we think that they can be, then it's really going to be tough each week.
Well, and that, I think, is a very cogent point, Jackson, and that is, on the one hand, there is nobody who is that monolithic presence, including going to Boise State, that you can't win the game. But you also could lose on any given week, and I know it's a cliche, but it happens to be true. And when you look at what we've said, and I think with justification, about the bottom feeders, meaning those in the conference that probably were not bringing the monetary value to the Mountain West, that are being left behind, the one thing that you have to put as a postscript, the Bulldogs, the last several years, Jackson, have had problems with those quote-unquote bottom feeders. They have had problems with Air Force. They've had problems with UNLV. They've had problems with New Mexico. It's not like they've been crushing those schools. I mean, they haven't been. And so you go into this year, and because you're going to run the football, or at least that's the MO, that you're going to run it, and you're going to shorten the game mandatorily, you are going to make every game close. So when you look at the start of this season, do you say, if you were to somehow lose at Lawrence, Kansas, you're a two-touchdown underdog, and also lose a couple of weeks later at Corvallis, where you're on the road against Oregon State, are you then going to say the Georgia Southern game is of monstrous importance in between, or are you going to say even an 0-3 start doesn't portend at all what the season may ultimately be? And if that's the case, does a 3-0 start also fail to give you an accurate representation of what we're going to see over 12 weeks? I mean, over 12 games, over 15 weeks because of the bye.
Yeah, it's pretty wild on that end, too, because I mean, you open conference play at Hawaii, and that's a game that, you know, you're only a couple spots ahead of them in the preseason poll. And they've really improved their defense. They've got two All-Mountain West receivers at UH, and that's an offense that You don't want to see that if you're an opponent. So
they've given Fresno State a bad time, too. I left Hawaii out. So, officials helped a lot last year, the Bulldogs also didn't do themselves any favors. But you're right.
Yeah, I mean, so you go there. I mean, it might be the most attainable road game on Fresno State's schedule, but there's a lot of intangibles going there. It's just one where if you see that game, if you go 0-1 to start conference play, you're already in a hole in a non-divisional setup where you've pretty much got to go 7-1 to have a shot from there on out. So from that perspective, it doesn't really matter if you're 3-0 or 0-3 at the start of the season in terms of getting to a conference championship game. If you win that game against Hawaii, then you're just 1-0 with a bunch more wins still to go and some tough games to do it. So, it is going to be a different animal to non-conference to conference play. But outside of the task of winning a conference championship, you do want to at least be a winning team, be a bowl eligible type team. And I think the easiest path to doing that is winning your 6 home games, because there's not an easy win on the road. Hawaii is probably the easiest opportunity. You did beat Colorado State and San Jose State last year, but those teams did have better seasons than you, and they bring back their coaches and a lot of players from teams that fared pretty well last year. So Georgia Southern, I think, is a big one because, again, if this team is good, they should handle the other 5 home games as long as they come out and play decently at home. So Georgia Southern is just the one kind of roadblock in terms of sweeping your home schedule if this team is what we think it can be.
We'll talk more about it on Friday, of course, leading up to the game Saturday. But to put a capper on it, and Patrick had mentioned that the same thing applies, by the way, to Georgia Southern. They're going to run it and shorten the game. So, again, they're going to come in, and you're going to play that mirror image kind of game. And if they out-execute you, they're going to win here. And so you really have to be ready no matter what happens at Lawrence, Kansas. But the bigger question, once again, we know the depth is there running back-wise. Warner hopefully will have solved some of those turnover issues, the different structure, and maybe he will not be compelled to throw some of the passes that he's thrown in the past. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt right now. Jackson, can Fresno State, offensive line-wise, line up against Kansas, which would then, of course, lead to great confidence against Georgia Southern? Can they line up what we have right now that you have seen, and be able to create the holes necessary for Donaldson and that whole stable of running backs to dominate the clock? What's your level of confidence about that?
Yeah, I think it's really a wait and see. We just don't know until they get out there. I think that the size, it looks like Braden Walton continues to trend at left tackle, and opposite of Roland Fullwood, I mean, those are some huge tackles. I'm not worried about Fresno State being undersized with those two guys, even against a Big 12 defensive front. And I think the interior line's big enough as well. Like, seem like they've got some good blockers up there. I don't think they're going to get into a situation where they're going to get stuffed every down and they're going to have to pass and go 3-and-out a bunch of times. I don't think they're doomed by any means. But for them to win this game, I mean, they really probably got to run 150, 200 yards on the ground. And so it is a little bit of just a wait and see if they can win in the trenches to that extent against a team like that. I know the Jayhawks have a lot returning on their D-line. Some of their question marks are more in the back end, so matchup-wise, it's going to be a challenge, but we just don't know until we see it in action. A lot of question marks on this O-line, and they've got, they'll be answered pretty quickly here in the first couple quarters of the season.
Well, in summation then, and again, I hope people visit the board, barkboard.com. Jackson, you're not prepared to say that Kansas can overwhelm Fresno State physically. I would assume that that's the case. That's your stance. But conversely, you do not appear to be someone right now who can say for sure Fresno State can dominate KU themselves, right? So, I mean, is that where we're at here right now, that it really is a draw? Until you see it, that you don't have a strong feeling about either side being able to win in the trenches?
I would say so. One of the quotes I heard from a defensive player today at practice was, we don't know what the offense is going to do on different play. I mean, they're throwing a lot at us. They're doing a lot of different things, and they're keeping us on our toes type of a thing. So it may be a case where they may not have to physically dominate. Maybe this is a opening game where they're a little more balanced and they're out a little bit more. And then once they get into some opponents that have some smaller guys on the D-line, maybe then they try to push those teams around. So I think they're prepared to, you know, they've got backup plans. There's plan B, C, D, and E, I think, for Coach Davis, depending on how the Bulldogs fare up front. But that is the key here. If they can dominate in the trenches, then plan A, run it up the middle all game long. That is probably going to be a bit more complicated than that.
And if you're facing the loaded box, I'll let you go. Here's the quiz again, Jackson, a la Stanford Steve. Who's always open in that case, Jackson?
Tight end.
The tight end, that's right. Absolutely the tight end. Jackson, I appreciate it. Anything beyond the norm on the board special-wise right now?
We still got our fall camp specials going on. It's 50% off a year, every first year at VIP, and it's $1 for your first month to try it out.
Well, and also, I'm going to be part of the new Crippled UFC there on Paramount Plus. I don't know that. But we're all going to have two canes and wheelchairs. We're going to do battle. It's going to be mayhem. You know, you hope someone doesn't run you over with a wheel. That's all there is to it. So I'm looking forward to that. It's the plus 80 group of UFC, my friend. All right. I'll talk to you on Friday, Jackson. Take care.
You too.
All right, our great friend, de facto co-host Jackson Moore, BarkBoard.com. We'll take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil, and he'll have 3 hours to tell you how great Buster Posey has been for the San Francisco Giants in the front office. I would suggest Buster ought to get the catchy gear back on. That might be the best answer to all of this. Take a break. Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 51. About 3 or 4 minutes ago on the show, handed off to Phil's fine show Behind the Bench. Take you to 6. Tell you about the schedule right now, courtesy of our pal Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And as we begin the season again, we start another year of engineering yardage, the great fundraiser that Ed's business has for Fresno State football and athletics through the Lyles College of Engineering on campus. For every yard gained through the air at home for the last several seasons, it has been a donation for every yard to the Lyles College of Engineering. The goal of engineering yardage, to unify athletics and academics, to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully. We look forward to another year. As far as the lineup goes, you've got the Giants with, again, a 6:45 tonight. They have lost now, 11 of 12 at home. It's been just an awful stretch. They beat the Phillies long ago a couple times and lost the final game of that series, then lost 2 of 3 to the Dodgers and ended up then being swept on the entirety of a homestand with the Mets and the Pirates, then losing 2 of 3 to the Nationals. It's just been awful, and they have sunk not too slowly in the West, and I would love to see them resurrected. I just don't know how they're going to be able to do it, but they'll give it a shot again tonight, 6:45, 6:15 pre on 1430. The A's, like I said, A's have played better lately. We had talked going into Baltimore they had won 9 of 13, so as of late they've been playing better. They don't win a whole bunch during the year. They're well under 500, but they have a lot of young talent on the team, and I've said this over and over again, if Fisher would have sold the Joe Lacob, the A's would have remained in Oakland. They would have had the money and the desire to spend it, and they could have been a very competitive team, as they were for many, many years. But John Fisher has a lot of things I can say about him. My buddy Robert here in town would say it with words I can't use on the air. But Fisher has destroyed the franchise like the carpetbagger he is. He's taken the money and run off to Vegas. When the A's get there in a couple of years, a lot of this young talent is going to have blossomed. The problem is they'll be on their way to free agency, and so is Fisher going to finally decide to spend money, or is he going to once again make sure everybody's cut loose a year before their free agent year? And that's the question that the folks in Vegas are going to have to grapple with. It's too bad the A's are not still in Oakland, though I give great credit to everybody in Sacramento for making the home away from home the best they possibly could. The A's and the Rays tonight, 6:30 with a 7:05 first pitch on our sister station, the Deuce, 7:90. As far as the lineup show-wise goes, Phil is fine show behind the bench, normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikin. Great anniversary sale going on right now. El Paso across from River Park. Best furniture on the planet. The great conversation of Phil's show. You can always reach him on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Also, of course, stop in. There's some good eats as well when Phil is there. Again, Thursdays at Fashion Furniture. Paul Metter's back with his fine show from First Ring Sports on Saturday morning on 1430, 10 a.m. to noon, Central Valley Sports Report. He was off for the summer, came back on August 9. He'll be there now throughout the entirety of the academic year. We are with you at 2 o'clock and each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1, at att.net. First names are fine. I'm back on emails. I'll get back to you guys as soon as I can on air. As far as the station, everything you need, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. We have all the baseball coverage in addition to the A's and Giants all the way through the World Series from ESPN Radio. Have the 49ers, the Raiders, Rams games coming up, and everything through Westwood One all the way through the Super Bowl. The Lakers will be back in October, and we'll have everything for the NBA in addition to the Lakers through the finals on ESPN Radio, and of course all the high school sports and everything else we can cover for you locally coming up very shortly as we are very quickly rolling in mid-August here. Final reminders one more time. Bulldog Bread, the collective, bulldogbread.com. Bread as in on the table, bread.com. The critically important NIL monies. Marcus McMurray wants to hear from you. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, hit him up. He'll get back to you as soon as possible. And along those lines, once again, we want to thank our friends at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective to benefit Fresno State. And right now, the local KFCs have the $7 fill-up special going on for a limited time. That is crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl. Each come with a drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. And you can top it off with the new Peaches and Cream Sweet Lightning Soda. This is all in concert with the great promotion for F1, the movie, the terrific Brad Pitt movie about Formula One racing. Stop by the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And also keep in mind, on Tuesdays like today, you still have the long-running 8-piece $10 bucket deal. 8 pieces of KFC's dark meat chicken or the original recipe tenders. If you do stop in any local KFC's, tell them thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State. It's much appreciated. And along those lines, we want to thank Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, for also being part of the process, and Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and, of course, everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. One more time, give Phil a call coming up the full 3 hours, 559-320-1430. We will see you guys on Thursday because the Giants have our time slot tomorrow. But Phil will have not only the full 3 hours today, when the Giants wrap up tomorrow afternoon, Phil will be right back on, and then we'll see you on Thursday. Have a good one. Good luck to the Giants. May they not lose again today. I'm hoping. We'll talk to you guys later on KFIG Fresno.